morning. We're going to call the County Council meeting of March 17, 2015 to order. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council.
Good morning, Jen.
Only one amendment this morning. We can strike under executive session personnel.
Okay. Is that motion to approve the agenda is amended?
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlette. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of March 10th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one letter, and it's from Emmanuel Shelter, thanking the county for the generous donation. And that is all.
Anyone on council have correspondence?
No. Just a constituent inquiring about our continued conversation regarding the trash issue. So,
Of course, all the correspondence I get is about pending applications and pending zoning decisions. So, I don't think we want to talk about that this morning in the public.
Public comments.
I don't think your
stuff is
working again.
What?
It doesn't sound like
it. All right, Higgins.
Is this the same one that was a former county employee?
Not now.
Uh-oh.
No, my name is R. Hitchens, Mr. President Mike Griffin, and this is the councilman. I'm here just to hear to say one thing. Now that I'm a citizen, I hear a lot of bad comments about all you guys.
Really?
But it's not, you know, there's sometimes things that are said in here. I think you guys are doing an excellent and a great job, every one of you. And I want you to know that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Trash is bad.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Paul Rieger.
Morning, Paul Rieger, 181 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. What you did last week with the garbage, putting it up on the agenda, was excellent. What you're doing with the vending machines, coming up, bringing up subjects like that, putting it on the agenda for discussion is excellent. I wish the users would do the same with the codes to clean up some of the contradictions, some of the stuff that's outdated. If you can start putting them on the agenda as time goes through, it's working out well. It's trash. You saw different issues and everything in different conversation. It works out great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Susan. Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Susan Polakoff, and I'm your Delaware director for the American Diabetes Association. I don't think I have to tell you that diabetes is at epidemic proportions, not only in our great state, but also around the country. 9% of Delawareans have diabetes, and that includes children and adults. What I came to speak with you briefly about this morning, and I will be brief, is that 150 children in Sussex County are living with diabetes. And that not only affects the children, it affects their families, it affects their siblings, it affects the children that they go to school with. Just this year, we'll have 30 new diagnoses. So if we're getting a diagnosis of 30 per year just in children under 18, it's beginning to get exponentially out of control. So my job is to make sure that these children and that these families have resources for their children who are living with diabetes. And in Delaware, we don't have the resources to match the need. However, what we do have is a fabulous partnership with our Philadelphia office, and every summer they have a week-long camp for children with diabetes called Camp Freedom. It takes place in Schwanksville, Pennsylvania. It's June 20th through the 27th, and what I'm here to ask you for today is your consideration of setting some of your funds in your budget aside to send Sussex County children to Camp Freedom. Sussex County children. 150 of your children are currently living with diabetes. 30 will be diagnosed this year. I've prepared packets for all of you that I'll leave with Gina, and I'll ask her to distribute or whomever. and you can take a look at them. There's some information on how American Diabetes Association spends our money. There are statistics about the state of Delaware specifically, and there are also some slides around our youth. So as I said, the camp is from the 20th to the 27th. It's physician supervised. Each parent or parents get to meet with a physician when they bring to drop the children off at camp and go through their medical history. They're monitored 24/7, and it's a beautiful way to make children who are living with diabetes for that short point in time to feel like they're not different, because they're not. They're the same as the other children who are at the camp. So on that note, I'll leave my packets. Gina was kind enough to give me instructions as to what to do, and then perhaps you and I could follow up after the council has an opportunity to speak. Thank you all for your questions.
Thank you for coming down. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
She does have a question here, Mr. President.
You heard that.
I heard that.
How far away is the camp from Sussex County?
It's probably a two-hour trip.
2 hours.
No, that's not true. Maybe a three-hour trip.
That's a long way. You think a lot will come in from Sussex?
There aren't any other resources.
That's all there is what you're saying. Okay, I understand that.
The opportunity, yeah. Number one.
Well, I hope they will.
To have a scholarship for your child and for the child to have the experience, I think they'll find
it. All they have to do is the transportation then. Okay. Okay.
And bring the meds.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much.
For any list, I better go for that.
Next thing is our consent agenda on wastewater agreements. Anybody have any questions or concerns about any of these three on here? Hearing none, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion, right. Mr. Cole. Second, right. Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the next item, discussion on commercial vendors, including food trucks, I'd ask to make my presentation down at the podium.
Stand by.
Okay, good morning. Today we're going to give a presentation and continue to discuss the topic of vendors. And I'm joined today by Mr. Robinson and Mr. Lank, who have contributed to what we're going to present today. Recall back in August of last year, we had a discussion on this topic to see what the council wanted to do. We took some feedback from that meeting, as well as additional feedback that we've received to date, and can put together this presentation today, which will outline what our thoughts are and seeking feedback from you all. And then the next step, if we do have some consensus, would be in the future to introduce an ordinance that reflects today's proposal. So let me jump in to the presentation. Today we're going to speak on specific vendors, explain to you what we're referencing when we use the terminology vendor, highlight the current process if you are a vendor to come in and seek approval from the county to legally operate, what that entails, and then the possible solution, which is the proposal that we've worked on. It's very important from the beginning to understand that we are referencing vendors that only operate on commercial property that is zoned commercial right now. It's also very important to realize, and we heard you all loud and clear last year, that the vendors we're talking about are not your typical farm markets, produce stands, roadside stands that you see scattered across this county selling farm goods. They're selling legally on AR1 property. We are not discussing those vendors. So that's a good distinction for you to keep in mind as we move forward.
Because there's rules for that.
Correct.
Already
correct.
Established by who, the state or the?
By us.
And by us also. Okay.
Permitted in AR1.
Okay. County code, AR1, those types of vendors or those types of produce stands that you see that I'm referencing are legally operating. The vendors we're talking about are the new phenomenon, food trucks.
that we are starting to see utilized in the county. We also see vendors that are selling produce, but they're selling it on a commercial property. Barbecue carts, and you name it. There's a number of different types of sales that are taking place. Again, these sales are happening on commercially zoned properties. So this picture was taken yesterday at the Lowe's in Lewis. And if you can see right here, that is the famous Lowe's hot dog stand. Mm-hmm. Why is it famous? Because that hot dog stand came through the county and got a conditional use to legally operate on that commercial property. You know the process that it requires to get a conditional use to sell food merchandise in that small corner of that property.
Also with the permission from Lowe's, correct?
That is,
oh yeah, sure.
I would assume obviously. That is correct,
well,
yes.
Well, I mean, it wasn't said, but I want to make it understanding so those that don't know,
yes,
do know.
Here's another example. This is the Taco Rijo food truck that is currently going through the application process before planning, zoning, and county council. So we can't speak specifically to that application, but just to illustrate, this is a food truck. If you've not seen it, this is a local food truck that that is vending in and around the Cape region. And it is specifically what we're discussing today. Here's another example. This is the Hawker Barbecue trailer. That picture's taken down at the Hawker Market. And this particular applicant went through and got approval through a conditional use process. This barbecue trailer has a conditional use to sell their product on their property in front of their store. It cost them thousands of dollars, both in planning and engineering to show a site plan and legal expenses to get that conditional use approved to basically sell the same product they're selling right inside their store. Here is...
Can I add to that one?
Please, Lawrence.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Hawker Barbecue also went through the Board of Adjustment because it's a mobile home type structure, and they had to go through the board for another fee, another public hearing.
Wait, a local what?
What do you mean? Go ahead.
Say that again. Go back up. They went to the Board of Adjustment because...
They went to the Board of Adjustment because it's a mobile home type structure. There isn't any provision in the ordinance to sell at a permanent location on a mobile unit because it's permanent, so they had to go to the board.
Okay.
And that's happened several times.
Oh. Also, this trailer is also tagged. Is that correct?
Trailer's tagged, and it does. They do move it off site and take it to
events,
fair event, something of that nature on occasion. But typically, it stays there.
So, Mr. Lake, if I may, it is not really then a permanent structure.
No, it's not permanent. It's a temporary type structure.
Right.
And when they're not open, say when the season's over, they'll move it and park it to the rear of the building, so you really won't know it's there. So it doesn't stay there all the time, but it stays there during the season. So it's going to be there probably 5 to 6 months.
At that location. Lawrence, are you, other than the Lowe's hot dog guy, he's there year-round, but most of this, of what we're seeing, is a seasonal type of seasonal type of businesses.
It's typically a seasonal or weekend.
The
Lowe's guy takes his trailer home and restocks his
every
material
night.
And brings it back the next day.
Right.
And usually he's there on weekends, sometimes on Friday, but typically it's a weekend.
Very popular.
Yeah.
So we're Todd, I'll go back to Todd and Vince. We are looking at vendors that are mobile. Is that a key term for what we're looking at, or are we going to see vendors that are fixed? Now, if they're fixed, we may want to continue to do it like we're doing it
mm-hmm.
because it's fixed. But we're looking at food carts, which imply it's a mobile unit, right?
Yeah. So and
everything you've showed is mobile.
We have a framework that we're going to illustrate to you. Mobile is not a criteria, it's temporary. So if a vendor is a seasonal vendor and they set up in a, assuming that they're operating legally, they set up in a parking lot, and think of a produce stand that utilizes, you know, bricks and boards to sell their produce, it looks like steps. That's temporary. He or she can be torn down in a matter of hours. We're not talking about something that is affixed to the ground or is semi-permanent. But we're also not talking mobile either, because some of these will set up in May and close down in August, and they're quote temporary.
There is another example too, similar to this, box trailer converted to prepare, in this case, seafood, is one that went through conditional use with the commission and the council and got approval, and then had to go to the board because it was a mobile type unit, temporary location, and they needed variances
to be able to park it where he parked it.
That was what the one they called in 26 was fish killer.
They're afraid they're going to live in there? Is that what the thing is?
No, it's just that it's a mobile home type structure being used for a business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they're using it for a business is why they have to go to the board.
Okay.
They also
another example. Similar to that size, and basically they prepare the food, steam it, and serve it at picnic tables right outside the unit.
They must also go to public health, too.
Oh, sure. Definitely set up public health gets them first.
The public health involved.
So we'll go through
Can you
hear your microphone? Come on up.
We'll go through our other examples, and then I'll show you the framework that we've put forward, and we can talk about temporary versus mobile versus semi-permanent.
Quickly, maybe before you go, just to put my mind at ease, should we be differentiating between mobile and temporary? Because they do have different impacts. So it's something we might want to think about. There is the mobile, and then there's the temporary, which could be structurally built, placed, and
seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seasonal. And seasonal, that's another thing, because some of them aren't, some of them are. So
well, anyway. Let me show you this next example.
Okay.
This is a, I'd call this a produce stand. This is located off of Long Neck Road, Route 5, right across from Baywoods. That's the Baywoods backside of their green. This is located in a shopping center. This particular vendor operates every summer, and then when the season's over, this apparatus that you see is either removed or shut down and pulled around back. This is no more than basically a box pallet with a sort of a shade roof, and they're selling sweet corn here, clearly something that can be emptied and moved within hours. This is a hay wagon, so it is mobile, it's on wheels, but that thing will sit during the season in the same place from May to August. And during the off hours, they'll flip down these lids, they'll close up, next morning they'll open up, and they're selling produce on a commercially zoned site in the corner of a parking lot. This is a very typical ag product type vendor that we see sprinkled throughout the county. This is a very good example of the type of vendor that, if this proposal were to go through, would receive the benefit of a streamlined process.
That would be great. You're not serving food to be eaten on the premises.
But we're but on that particular one, he's probably got I would think we would maybe be concerned about his location, his setbacks, et cetera, et cetera. Also taking up. We have formulas for parking for these shopping centers, and all of a sudden we allow these to go in and eat up some of the parking. We got to weigh that also, right? So, I mean, that ought to be part of the calculation, because that seems right where that sits sometimes. It could be a visual hazard.
So you're absolutely right, Mr. Cole. This is this one, if you're familiar with this intersection, this is sort of a turning lane to go. Down, I think this is Banks Road.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see very, very little distance between Banks Road intersection and this yellow curb of the parking lot. This particular vendor is an annual vendor that is in place and not in compliance. We've heard from the property owner that said, we're more than willing to comply with whatever the county code is. Just tell us what you want us to do. One of the criteria within our proposal is property owner approval.
Yes.
Sure.
So I guess to go to your point, if the property owner is willing, I don't know how we work this formula out, but if the property owner is willing to forego space or something that this is taking right here, visual of sorts, if they're willing to say it's okay to have this apparatus in our parking lot, that's one of the proposals that we are, the criteria within our proposal, the property owner must approve.
Our parking is an ordinance.
It is part of the formula of approval.
Right? I mean, are we...
That takes that into account. So.
Because I know with the outlet malls, they're full on a rainy day. I don't care what you got in there. And then if you end up allowing stuff to take up parking spaces, and they may say, yeah, that's okay, we still could have a traffic issue where cars are trying to get in, there's no place to park, and maybe this doesn't have the same situation or that problem with parking, but we've got to really worry about the high-impact ones versus the low-impact. So, anyway, okay.
I will tell you at the same time, I mean, you were talking about, you know, taking up some space, but really, truly, by adding another business, you'll need more parking, correct, in theory, because you're really actually adding another vendor, another business on that same piece of property. So, you know, the parking was approved based on the existing structure, the permanent structure, I should say, and so here you're adding another element to the process. So truly, you would need more parking in theory, correct?
In theory, yes.
Right.
In theory, yes.
But this guy's only parking very temporarily.
Yeah.
Just getting his product. And he would not be there
in and out.
If he was not there for a service and had profit and had a lot of people coming. He would not be there. He'd be somewhere else.
Sure.
So you got to remember those saying it's okay because could be hundreds of people using it. Who knows?
I'll show you another example of the exact same type of vending, if you will. This is further down the road. This is another commercial area. You can see the parking lot here. This is, again, Route 5 heading south down Long Neck Road. Again, agriculture products, very temporary structure, could be moved or torn down, I would suggest, in hours and gone. This structure is probably not there right now because it's not in season. And again, as it stands right now, this operation on this commercial area, this is a little ice cream slash hot dog slash, you know, trinket store. This operation of selling ag products on this parking lot would require a conditional use in current form of our county code. Finally, another example, a couple of carts, looks like a historic farm truck, a couple of pallets. You can see a person pulled up in their vehicle. They're buying their produce, you know, in and out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Situated in a parking spot. If you're familiar with this area, there's a commercial store right here next to this red car.
That's in town. I think in Dagbar.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you can see on that one. Go back on that one. The way that one's located in the parking lot, it may affect the way the parking was arranged. So it may foul up their parking scheme. So. Part of this whole thing, would they have to come in front of Lawrence to make sure that they identify a placement, and then we would look to see that it doesn't affect, and like I said, you know, mess up their parking scheme, which
they
would
have to maintain their microphone.
Go ahead. Yeah, there.
They have to maintain their minimum parking spaces as what's on the site, and if they add, then we have to recalculate and maybe require additional one or two spaces.
Okay.
Is that public parking there, or is that private?
It's all private.
Well, that's just an example.
Well, why can't the private people make up their own decisions? Why are we?
We have a code.
Where have you been?
Code. Yeah, and but we need a evidence of.
Do you understand what's going on here?
Cooperation between them and the owner of the property.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
okay.
Have that.
Just sit there and listen.
I'll illustrate that.
Okay.
How are we doing? Good.
Okay.
Okay. So. This discussion really highlights sort of the issues that we're trying to address in our proposal. Currently, all we can offer anyone that is trying to do this type of commerce is the conditional use process. You know what that entails. Come in, submit your application and your fee, two public hearings in front of the commission and yourselves. Sometimes, as Mr. Lank referenced, even a variance is required. Should they be in or near some kind of setback requirement. And currently that takes months of time to get your approval. That's part of one of the reasons why we're bringing this forward. We've heard from the public. I think you all have realized that perhaps this is a burden that we don't want to have folks that maybe fit a certain criteria have to go through to try to participate in the type of vending that they're trying to engage in. So our proposal, and I'll get to the specifics in a second, it's a streamlined process, avoiding the conditional use public hearing process in the months of time that it would take. We've developed a criteria for discussion that's up for feedback from you, obviously. What it would entail is a counter review, so a person would bring their quote application in, and it would be reviewed by planning and zoning and by the director, and it would be a director's discretion if the criteria is met. And then if there is concerns, we've built in what we're calling a kick-out clause that would require or allow the director, if the director has concerns, to require the application to go through a hearing process. Not the same hearing process that's in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
The ordinance would require a single hearing through the Board of Adjustment, but it would still allow a public hearing, which does two things. It allows the public to have feedback and input, and it allows the application to be in front of five appointed members.
Wait, so you're saying there still will be one public hearing?
Could be.
Could be. Could be. Oh, could be. Okay. Okay. I forgot that word.
So if it's what I would deem a simple thing and it meets all the checks that we establish, and the current director, Mr. Lank, reviews this and everything is filled out properly, it could literally be a one-day walk in, walk out, you're good to go exercise with the county. If he has concerns, it's taking too much space, it doesn't meet the minimum parking requirements, the particular activity is sort of outside of the intent or the scope of this proposal, then he could say, I'd be more comfortable kicking this into the Board of Adjustment.
They would have different criteria on these decisions than they usually have. So this is really something new for them, I think. They need to look at the code that's in place and that type of thing. So
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've painted the picture. Now here's the criteria that we've sort of brought forth. You can see on the left-hand side there's nine items for discussion. The first column is the type of item we're talking about. So number one is property zoning. As I referenced in the beginning, we're only talking about property that is currently C1 and CR1. If they want to put a barbecue stand out in the middle of Route 24 on a piece of farmland, this doesn't apply. They'd have to come in, they have to go through a conditional use application and go through all those steps.
And they're not near a restroom anywhere. They're out in the field. I'm a mommy, and you have kids. And you go, I got to go to the bathroom or wash your hands. I mean, come on.
Yeah. The activity, Mr. Cole, to your point, we're calling it temporary removable stand, including food trucks. In the ordinance, if we need to define that so you're comfortable, we can certainly define that, and that's up for discussion.
Can we stop at each one of these as
Please.
You want to go down? Okay, on activity, I would have some concerns. I think when this was brought up, we were talking about food trucks, et cetera, food. So I would rather see this whole plan be associated with anything food-related, because I have been to other parts of the country where you pull into these intersections and you'll see a guy set up selling that art, or velvet art of Elvis and different things like that, and just pretty tacky, or selling carpets or who knows what. And then we end up looking like flea markets on every intersection so I would like to have the council consider that we just do food-related items, which pulls into the popularity of food trucks and, of course, in Sussex County, the popularity of fresh produce. So I would like to put that on the table as you go through this, because it can get pretty much out of hand. You could have guys with, you name it, the product. They'll be coming out there, and it will look pretty hokey. And if they meet this criteria, it'd be hard for Mr. Lank or whoever is assigned to this to deny it. And we could end up looking pretty, again, tacky. I don't think it's in the best interest of Sussex County to do that. Now, if we want to address that later on, if there's a need for it. Right now, we've heard from food vendors. We've heard from produce people. We've heard from food trucks. We've not heard from this other stuff. So I wouldn't throw that in the mix. So that's just a comment at this time.
And
I'd also would like to get to the point where some of these, we don't want to be enforcing a lemonade stand. There ought to be maybe a size, like if this says mobile and stuff, if I don't know, for some reason, some charity event or someone's got a lemonade stand or Girl Scouts or whoever what, or somebody's got some of these little push carts like you see it at events. If it's, as long as it's just temporary and occasional or something like that, we don't want to be messing with that. We want to be talking about those pictures that we saw earlier, something of a little size. So we ought to have a cutoff somewhere. because you read in the paper where some little kid's lemonade stand has been shut down because of zoning, and we don't want to make national news by shutting down Sam Wilson's grandkids selling
He's all about regulations.
Some moonshine on the side of the road where he makes there on that back road he lives.
Well, we're only talking about that is food and produce, really. That's the scope here. I think I would like to see that made plain if we need to.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has any.
It's sort of open. We wanted this feedback. So you're absolutely right. We've only heard from prepared food type vending and ag-related products. Right. That has been the majority of the scope. If you ride around, you will see other types of vending, very temporary vending that takes place, sort of the set up a tent in the corner of the lot, and they sell whatever they're selling, not food-related, and they come and go in one day. I don't know that we have the wherewithal to monitor or to regulate that, and not the intent of this.
Okay, well, I would like it to actually be clear that it is food-related vendors and food carts.
We better be careful with that, because I go by, like, Scott's has a furniture, has a mattress truck out there in front, wants to sell mattresses on sale for two or three days, for a week at a time. We're going to say, Scott, you can't put more trucks out here with a picture of mattress on no more. You can't sell that. Yeah. I think we're just going totally overboard here in this thing. We just watch ourselves. And, you know, we're supposed to be a complaint-driven council here, correct? Are we hearing all these complaints about mattress trucks? Are we hearing these things? I don't hear it. Why are we bringing this? Why is this in on the table to start with? I can't understand this.
Well, the problem is our code right now actually over-regulates this. So what we're trying to
do—that's the trouble. We better watch ourselves.
We're trying to streamline it.
We're trying to be part of the solution here, Councilman,
Sam,
and not creating more problems.
We're
actually,
reducing regulations.
I think in some cases it wouldn't hurt school backers a little bit.
Well, that's what
we're
trying to do.
That's what we're doing. We're just over-regulating. Every time you turn around, I've heard people say, "Every time I want to sneeze, I got to go get a permit." I'm tired of hearing all these complaints. I hear more complaints from that than I do about being under-regulated.
Well,
that's my two cents.
You'll like it then when we get done.
Well, I'll tell them, George, come see you, because you're the one for the regulations.
Sam, we're reducing regulations. Or get the hearing check.
So, Mr. Lawson, just to kind of big picture as you get through the details here, I have been very silent, I'm sure, as the president has, because I want to listen to your presentation, and then perhaps, obviously, at that point in time, have some... all the more reason why I should be a little bit more vocal, I would think, at times. But that's a separate discussion. But truly, the goal here is to make Sussex County more business-friendly, correct? In the end, streamline the process, keep it relatively inexpensive, correct? Because we do want to make it a simple, simple process for our residents,
correct,
who want to go out and create an income and provide for their families. That's what the goal is.
Correct.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you.
The intent, really, going back, and I don't like to use specifics, but we had a specific vendor in this presentation selling their own product on their own property in front of their own store, and they spent thousands of dollars to be approved to do that. And I would think any of you would agree that that's overburdensome.
Wrong.
So that was really one of the things that we looked at to try to create this criteria that would work to make it make it easier on the folks that are looking to do business in this county. I'll move forward. These are some of the other proposed criteria. Length of time, we've put in 6 months or less. We think if we're talking produce stands, that would capture the main selling season. We've put in the amount, one vendor per parcel. I think that's reasonable. That at least that's what we've proposed. Size.
It changes the change.
Size is sort of a question mark for us. Some of the examples we showed you were definitely bigger than an average parking spot. I don't think you can get a farm wagon in an average parking spot. And perhaps one single parking spot of 162 square feet is too small. We may need to better define that, but we do think that size should matter. We don't want to have, an entire one-fourth of a parking lot taken up by an activity.
Right. There are state regulations on what can be pulled down the road without any special permits, right? So we ought to probably maybe limit it to anything that meets state code, motor vehicle codes or whatever, about being able to be transported. So when if it had, like we have a huge hurricane coming and we want to move all this kind of stuff out of fragile areas or something like that, it ought to be able to be pulled down the street without any special permits or any special, like the state police having to follow it and all that stuff. So there's a way to limit it. And then if it goes, it exceeds that, then you might want to make it go through some kind of hearing. But most of these should be like a farm wagon goes right down the road without any special permits. Those other, everything you saw goes down the road without any special permits. So maybe that could be the kick out.
That makes sense because that, for example, the 162 square feet, we were just looking for some number but that actually would make more sense, so we can look into it.
Okay, that would probably be a better way to look at it.
Good for you.
I'm sitting here thinking, Joan.
That's good.
And Mr. Lawson, I apologize, but just to reconfirm, remind, and if there's anything that somebody would like to do beyond what's listed here, they just go through the current process.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's what we're looking at. So if they fall outside of whatever we get to today and then whatever we propose in ordinance in the future, if they fall outside of that, they're still able to do business in Sussex County. They're just going to have to come through the conditional use process to do it.
Sure.
Okay.
If they hit this criteria, this is what what we're defining as our streamlined process that would allow them to come in and simply be approved through this countertop review.
Do we have them at the outlets?
Do we have these types of vending?
Uh-huh. I see somebody shaking. You say one vendor per parcel. Sure what you mean by that.
The outlets, for example, I believe on the outlet.
First one on the right.
Northbound lane, closest to Rehoboth. I believe they have three locations that were approved for kiosks.
Okay.
Southbound lane on Route 1 at the other outlets right across the road, I believe they had two. And I think there's one at the Midway Outlet Center. They went through a public hearing process. They were actually vendor locations. The one on the northbound lane side is a kettle corn. And it's basically a gazebo screened in, and they keep all their equipment inside. And then there's another vendor that's right across the driveway from that. And the other two locations aren't now being used, but they were approved to be used.
Mm-hmm. But parcel, I wasn't sure.
It was also like the Lowe's. So Lowe's has the one hot dog stand. So
but then Lowe's could have no more. But
They could go through the other process.
Right.
You know, what we were trying to do is keep it so that it was simple and straightforward with just one.
Yeah, I was just asking because the outlets string along, you know, and it's a lot of different stores. I just wonder how that
And it also gets the county where we know what's out there. In other words, I think it's important for the county and our staff and our planning and zoning, whatever, to know what's located at the outlet malls or at Lowe's. And so we have when somebody complains, we haven't got four or five of them there, and nobody knows what's going on. So at least this keeps us able to track it.
And if you have more than one, then you really do start getting into parking issues and other things.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay, we've talked all summer about people that's going to be there every day or four or five days a week. How about the farmer that grows sweet corn and has sweet corn come on this particular week, and he just wants to get rid of that sweet corn extra? How much does he have to go through to just pull his pickup up, sell off the tailgate, what sweet corn he's got, and go on?
Where's he pulling up to?
Say, for instance, I'll use an example. I used to sell off in the circle here, and most everybody knew on Friday afternoon I had sweet corn. And people would just pull up of course, place is not too busy on Saturdays, and Friday night's late, and I'd pull up there and just sell sweet corn right off the tailgate. Sometimes my kids would be there selling sweet corn off the tailgate. Now, what kind of permits I have to go through if I wanted to just do that for 3 or 4 days? For a couple weeks.
So, town of Georgetown, what'd you do?
Yeah. Right here in the town of Georgetown.
Right. So, in your example, that would be a town question, but the reason I asked you, if you pulled your pickup truck.
Suppose I went down to one of these inlets in. Our outlets, we should say. We could call an outlet.
The code is currently, if you pulled your pickup truck on your property and opened up and said, I'm for sale, completely legal.
Yeah.
Can do that anytime. If you drove down the outlets and you want to sell your sweet corn in an outlet, the code would require conditional use currently. And you know what that process is. If this were to take place and you wanted to sell sweet corn on a commercial property, one day or one weekend or one month, we would think that you would be able to come through and in one day get approval from the county to do that. That's the goal and intent of this.
How about the property owner here gives me a permission?
Well,
hopefully that would happen.
That's a good segue because that's something that we built into our criteria. Number six, you see the permission, and this was discussed or brought up earlier.
Right.
The property owner would have to sign off on this. This is not the you know, I drop in on a Sunday and I'm just going to sell my product and leave. The property owner would have to provide in writing approval. Maybe we create a form of sorts that they sign off on and says, I'm allowing this.
We still bring the middleman back in, right? That's the government.
Well, but it's better than what we have. It's cumbersome now and expensive. And
is it cumbersome for a farmer that wants to sell off this tailgate that only takes up a parking space and wants to sell off the tailgate? Is it cumbersome to those that want fresh sweet corn that day? Is it not a drawing card to that business?
Well, here's the problem, Mr. Wilson, is we've got people that have set up vegetable stands, and there's instances of this where the county's been receiving complaints where they, because it's regular, they have had to go through the conditional use process, and that's what the code currently says. So what we're trying to do is make it fair for everybody so that if they're going to sell off a stand in a parking lot on a regular basis, they can come in, just get a letter of approval or whatever, or a sticker or whatever from planning and zoning, and they can go ahead. We've had complaints where people have said, why did I have to go through this conditional use process when the guy
spent hundreds of dollars?
Yeah,
right?
The guy, the parking lot over, just shows up, you know, and he didn't have to go through anything. So we're trying to make it.
There's
fair
a difference.
For
there's a difference here. We don't forget that. I produce my own corn. I'm a producer. These guys went out and bought it, whatever the products are selling. They bought the meat that came from the farmer. They bought the sweet corn that came from the farmer. They bought all these products and put them in here, and they're in business to make. They're really the middleman. I'm talking about the guys directly growed it and selling it. There's a difference.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's not a problem, and we've not had any problem with that in this county. What we're having problems
I'm trying
with
to get
these,
it so
these
we
other
have,
things.
I'm trying to fix it so we won't have no problem.
Well, it's hard to for when you ask the guy if he grew that corn, he'll say yes. Mm-hmm. I was in the produce business, and I'll guarantee I didn't grow a thing. Well, I knew where to buy it.
You would lie and say you growed it. Is that what you're saying?
I never was questioned. I went and got the licenses, had the proper approval from a town to do it.
Hey, that's right.
But I'm just saying, that's not the problem that we're trying to address.
Mm-hmm. I can show
what you're
you,
bringing up.
I can show them the stalks I growed on. They wouldn't have had a problem with it.
So number six, I think, is where we were.
Yes. So talking about the permission of the property owner.
Where's the property owner?
And then in conjunction with that, number seven, having a plan brought in so that the planning and zoning office and the director could literally review the placement of this temporary stand on the property itself.
Doesn't have to be a survey.
Could simply be it's got to
be
accurate placement. It doesn't have to be meets and bounds, but it certainly has to show.
May I?
Please, by all means.
Yes, you, sir.
One of the examples we had on the screen, the location that you questioned, the parking of the produce market on the cart was actually, should have been considered an obstruction if DelDOT would have gotten involved. And we showed the individual where on that property he could place it and be conforming.
Right.
And he chose not to and kept it where it was. So we still have issues with that site.
Right.
Just for example. So the good drawing with accurate drawing showing where the location is going to be, it meets the setbacks or whatever is required. It meets the criteria. It doesn't take up parking spaces. It'll say it was in a grassy area, not a parking lot. The other site was either in a driveway or a parking space.
That individual you just referenced, under this new system, let's just say
that drawing shows exactly where
okay, let's just say he chooses not to, like where he's got it located today is not in compliance with state or county.
So then we go to number eight, kickoff, and say you got to go to board. And you're a violation until you do so.
Okay.
I have a question. I at a boat show, for instance, I've seen folks come in with their equipment that makes popcorn and sell it. It's very popular, but I'm not sure where they're supposed to be located or how that works. Do you consider that?
Typically, the ordinance provides the director to approve for up to 3 days maximum.
Okay.
Promotional activity, which the example would be a boat show.
Right.
And we have those once or twice a year at different places, and they have other vendors that participate in that show just for accessory access to sodas or popcorn or whatever.
So it's not prohibited?
No, not prohibited. It's all part of the promo.
We've always allowed that.
That's great.
And certainly not the intent of this proposal here for that example. So the drawing that would show the location, and then finally we keep talking about this is the sort of the save-all. If something doesn't look right or if the director has an issue or if it's just such that it deserves or should have a hearing, the ordinance would be drawn so that a Board of Adjustment hearing could be required. And then, again, this allows both the public input, it allows the application to come before. It's one hearing, not two. It's one board, not two. It's
generally quicker.
Very quick, considering and comparing to conditional use.
How long does it last?
The conditional use process takes anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 months to get through that process.
Mm-hmm.
Board of Adjustment process takes 8 to 10 weeks.
Oh, it's too
long. If you have to go to the board. If you have to do both and go through the conditional use process and...
By the time that's all,
your fees
season's
basically,
over.
And you doubled your time.
And give us an example, Lawrence, while you're standing there. What would be an example of somebody who got kicked out?
Of town?
No. We're talking about this.
Stand that's encroaching setbacks or taking up parking spaces.
Size?
Size
possibly? Okay.
The size question I raised earlier in this discussion is...
And no agreement.
All parking spaces.
Well, okay, as we put this together, there should be some examples of what... would force a kick out so that it's not arbitrarily,
right.
You know.
It says that it would be approved by the director or it would be sent to the Board of Adjustment if there are concerns about the location, the effects upon on-site parking, neighboring properties or roadways.
Okay.
Or other good
okay,
policies.
So it does have some basic criteria. Good, okay.
What if the property owner later rescinds that approval? How can that happen? You know, what if it's a pain in the neck and it's just making a big old mess?
They could notify us, and we would have to void their approval.
So you would go through the county. They can't do that.
Yeah. Well, he can kick them off. It's his property.
Yeah, that's a landlord-tenant issue. If they don't want somebody to be there, they can kick them off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to get involved in that.
Yeah. One other item for consideration, and I want to throw it out there because it was brought up in some of our discussions, and that's number 9, is state agency consideration. Do we require any proof of any state agency approval of, for instance, a food vendor having a business license or health permits that's required to prepare food? Do we want to get into that? Do we want to have the director have proof that this is an actual business?
No.
Can't
yes.
we say depending
100%
on,
yes.
on approval from the state?
It makes the playing field even.
As a good elected official as I am, I like compromise. So would that be? So in other words, why should somebody go out and get the approval, i.e., go to the expense of doing something if they're not going to get approved here with us?
No,
so
it won't come here. It'll go for a permit if they meet all these other things.
But I'm talking about when your departments is going through this streamlined process. If for some reason it's not going to get approved for whatever particular reason, if we do make that a requirement, okay. But there's an added expense that would be required on them with no guarantee that they're going to be even allowed to do it, correct?
All right, then we do it this way. We let them come in, make the application, they get approved. Then before they get the sticker or whatever we give them, they have to then show that they have a business license, a health certificate. And a guy on the radio, because I mentioned it this morning and had a couple call, and a guy related me a situation where a homemade food cart, something blew up, a gas thing blew up, and people got hurt. Now, it wasn't around here, but it was somewhere else. So then the guy said, you know, does anybody inspect those vehicles? And I said, well, the county's not set up for it, but if it was a state agency, we could reference that they would have to have that. So the only one that would come to mind would be the fire marshal. Should the fire marshal look at this? If it's a food cart with gas, stoves, stuff like that, you know what I'm talking about, should it have a thing? And now, again, I don't know if the fire marshal's even set up. Fire marshal may not be set up for this, may not want to be involved. Uh-huh. Then we would just waive it. But anyway, it is a consideration of safety.
Sure.
It would be on the applicant to
you know, those
secure those.
Turkey fryers burn everybody up, burn mobile homes up all the time?
I'm not sure if the health department requires that approval or it's in their own jurisdiction when it comes to use of gas products.
Okay. I don't. Again, we'd have to do some homework. But should there be some scrutiny from somebody to make sure it's a safely operated thing? Because could we be liable for approving that?
George, if we're going to go to worrying about everybody's safety, we'll do away with liquor because you'll be DUI. I mean, there's no end to this. I bet there's more people killed on the highway from DUIs than there is from gas stoves that blew up. But here's the point. I was a member of the Lions Club and also the president one time, And right outside of town here, we had a barbecue stand. Let me tell you, home inspection, the state will be in inspected. You don't have to come and tell the county or nobody else that the state needs to show up. I'll guarantee you that. Fire marshals, everybody will be there. Why in the world have we got our nose in somebody else's business and trying to add more businesses here? I don't understand it. I don't understand why we want to add on and on. In other words, George, it comes right back. Can we enforce it? Are you going to go to these stands and check? Have you got your stamps with the
state? We don't enforce it.
It's foolishness, in a sense of speaking. Let every agency take care of herself. They'll know what's going on. They know what's happening. I guarantee you they know what's happening.
Unless we notify them that there's a food cart located in a certain thing because of the county's approved it, they wouldn't know it's there until it could be too late. And anyway,
okay.
I know every vendor that down there has to go through, every restaurant, everybody who serves food has to go through the health department and get a certificate. And we should, again, I think we have a responsibility because we are permitting an operation. We want to make sure we're permitting safe operations. So what is the minimal inspections? We're not going to inspect it, but there's maybe the fire marshal. Again, the fire marshal may not, Mike might know better, more about this than I do, but I don't.
Are you talking
I'm just
about
speculating.
That day and you're talking about Rehoboth and all those areas?
Huh?
What? What are you talking about, George?
Everything, anything serving food in the state of Delaware. Everybody who serves food in the state of Delaware has to go through the health department.
Well, first, subject to inspection.
All these people that we're talking about have to do that. We want to make sure that all they do is they show us proof. They show us proof of a business license. Because the guy down the street with the bricks and mortar had to get a business license.
Are you recommending him to go to the state before he comes to us?
No, I just said there's a way we could do it and do it after the fact.
Mr. Arlett.
May I, Mr. President? Yes, this is quite enjoyable, I would say. but to kind of zone back in and refocus here, if we could, and that is the question that I have, is how do we currently do it as a county? And what I mean by that is we, I think, are very good at what we do. When it comes to land use decisions, we as a council make decisions as land use. This is a step in their process, their meaning the owner's process, correct? And they have other obligations and responsibilities beyond us.
They have to go.
Correct?
When they get final approval from council, it only approves the use. It does
correct.
Not approve the site plan. The site plan requires that they submit us all agency approvals.
So,
fire marshal, building code, right on down the list.
So we actually already do this. Am I correct?
Yeah, we already do it.
Mr. Lank, is it?
Get a copy of it, yeah.
So I'm actually correct, then we actually do this already, correct?
Do it now. When the letter goes out, right after council approves it within the day, same day or the day after, it tells them which agency approval they need specifically for that.
So based on how we've been doing it for a long time, and I think we've been very good at what we do, based on this specific item, what would you suggest the process be as it relates to these other agencies, relating it to how we do it currently?
Well, before I could grant approval, actually give them a permit or whatever it's going to be, a sticker or whatever, they're going to have the DLDOT approval, no contention saying they, because DLDOT looks at it as an expansion of their commercial facility mm-hmm. that's already in use. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a letter, and they just say there's no contention, they don't object to the use mm-hmm. because it's a minor expansion. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the health department approval because in some cases the food trucks are preparing food for one, for the other. Maybe the fire marshal, I'm not sure, because the health department may already check that.
Okay. Got it.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just a couple of agencies, really. It's not that.
And we already, been. Like,
but they get them.
That's how
we
we've been doing it for 40 years.
They have to get it for us.
Nothing's changing.
Before I grant final approval.
Right.
So they may come in and ask, but it may not be the same day because unless they have all those permits.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a concern, Rob, about going through the process and then getting denied and you've spent all that money, we can make the agency approvals after the hearing, before a permit.
But it is after the hearing, typically.
Hearing
okay, well, before the permit is, in other words, you've been approved, now get these hearings and then we send you a permit.
I mean, I think to kind of close this up,
yep.
What we're attempting to do is to make this process something that makes more sense for a seasonal guy with a produce stand or a barbecue truck in a parking lot for whatever, without going through Board of Adjustment and maybe variances and paying lots of money to do that. If it doesn't make sense, or Lawrence can kick it out, or the director can kick it out, and it has to go through a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is to make this process less cumbersome on the individual and not more cumbersome or not more rules, or less, and it's faster to do it that way is what we're trying to do. So I think you've heard a lot today up here. I'm sure if they have more information, they'll carry it back to you guys, and then you can come forward with information to us to look at ways of having maybe an ordinance or something to do that and tweak it and make it make sense. We're trying to make it easier on the public, not more difficult.
The worst example was not the worst example, but they had to go for conditional use because they're using a temporary type structure for a business. So he went through two public hearings, 6 to 8 months. Then he had to turn around and apply to the Board of Adjustment, pay another fee, and the site plan is still part of it. They had to apply for variances and the use, and another 6 to 8 weeks or 10 weeks possibly.
Sure.
So you just took up 3/4 of a year just to be able to find out whether you could even do it, and you just missed the season that was they were trying to work to.
Sure. So I think if you can
work
on what you've heard here, and then anything else that we're commenting to, so we can do that, and then bring it back to us, and we'll move forward.
It would go through the regular public hearing process where all those items could be adjusted and tweaked.
Mr. President, one last thing. Is there any consensus on just food-related products at this time?
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't hear any objection to that?
No.
I think that's what the whole thing started from.
Yes.
It was produce stands or food vendors.
Not baby dolls.
Food and
We don't want to be into
But that's why I say I want to keep them focused. If we're going to do it, let's look at the food carts, which and the produce, which is our primary concern on them. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We will be back.
Looks good.
Due time. Thank you.
Well presented.
Thank you.
Yep, nice.
Mr. Lank and Mr. Robertson, thank you for assisting Mr. Lawson.
Through that.